Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
We're going to have a little fun. We need the lights on. So we're just going to start off. How many know the Bible says that cheerfulness, laughter is good medicine? How many know it's Father's Day? How many know that fathers laugh at really dumb jokes? I don't know what it is, but when you become a dad, it's like rite of passage. Things that you'd be like, oh my gosh, dad, that is horrible. You start laughing at them. And I don't know, maybe it's our hormones change or something. But if we have to, we can use the other chair and it'll just be fun. So I've invited two people to come up. We're gonna play a little game. And you've probably seen this before. How many watch the Doc Guys? I think they're called the Doc Guys or Doc something or other. Are they called the Doc Guys? There's another one too that I just came across. They're like hunters and they do it and they try to do it while they're hunting, but they try to do it very quiet. They try to tell dad jokes and try not to laugh. Anybody ever see those? I love the Doc Guys because their jokes just kill me. They're great. So we're going to, gentlemen, I've picked you guys. Andrew is one of our contestants and Chris Welch is the other contestant. So come on up for a minute. And so here's what's going to happen. I've given them a task. You can shake if you want beforehand. So we're going to see, the goal is to try not to laugh. Oh, there we go. We got backing so you won't fall off your chair. I personally love dad jokes. I had a hard time. So I don't know, this could fall totally flat. But when I was reading them today, I was laughing, couldn't stop. Krista was like, these are terrible. So I don't know how this is going to go. But the job is that they're going to try to get each other to laugh. So we'll see who laughs first. But we are free to laugh as much as we want and to try to get them to laugh. So
can I crack up myself?
That's what I was doing. I was trying to get a joke out to Krista, and I couldn't even get it out. So without further ado, who would like to go first?
Chris.
Oh. All right. So, and these are bad. These are really bad.
You know, I stayed up all late night wondering if where the sun went. You know, and then it dawned on me.
This happens to be my favorite joke of all time. Why did the chicken cross the playground? To get to the other slide.
Oh, you know, I went to the aquarium this weekend, but I didn't stay long. There was something fishy about that place.
What did the ocean say to the beach? Nothing, it just waved.
Hey, did you hear that rumor about the butter? Well, I'm not gonna spread it.
I made a song about tortilla once, now it's more like a rap.
Hey, what did the alien say to the landscaper? Take me to your weeder.
This is still not laughing. Chris, you're not laughing.
Why do people who live in Greece hate waking up at dawn? Because dawn is tough on Greece.
Hey, why couldn't the bicycle stand by itself? Well, I was too tired.
Why can't you hear a pterodactyl go to the bathroom? The pee is silent.
Why shouldn't you play tennis in the jungle? Well, there's too many cheaters. Or cheetahs.
Cheetahs.
Cheetahs. Wow. Sorry.
Wasn't funny either time. Where do basketball players go when they need a uniform? New Jersey.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies.
What's the best thing about Switzerland? I don't know, but the flag is a big plus.
Okay. Why can't dinosaurs clap their hands? Well, because they're extinct.
You have to explain that
extinct?
One.
Extinct?
How do you get a squirrel to like you? Act like a nut. That was...
Why did the old man fall down the well? Because he couldn't see that well.
Today at the bank, an old lady asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over.
Well, the other day I was attacked by a bunch of circus clowns in the parking lot. I won, though, because I went right for the jugular.
I don't trust those trees. They seem kind of shady.
Well, singing in the shower is fun until you get soap in your mouth. Then it's a soap opera.
I only know 25 letters of the alphabet. I don't know why. That's a good one.
Have you seen those traffic circles or driven around them? Well, they're pointless.
Why can't pigs play soccer? They hog the ball.
Why do seagulls fly over the ocean? Because if they flew over the bay, we called them bagels.
Why?
You don't know.
I don't know. Why couldn't the baby score in basketball? He was always dribbling.
That's two in a row that are bad.
Where do you learn to make a banana split? Well, that's Sunday school.
My wife said I should do lunges to stay in shape. That would be a big step forward.
What do you get when you cross a parrot with a caterpillar? A little walkie-talkie.
What did the grape say when it got stepped on? Nothing, just a little wine.
Oh. Wow, I found a book. It was called How to Solve 50% of Your Problems. So I bought two.
How many apples grow on an apple tree? All of them.
Oh, good one. Is that it?
Okay, with nothing else, I laughed a lot, so thank you.
Me too.
Oh. My favorite still. The one I couldn't get out of my mouth is a lady asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her. Some of you just need to laugh more often. Actually, you know what? All of us need to laugh more often. Now you're all quiet. You're like, that was terrible. Yes, it was terrible. Yeah. Turn to your neighbors and you need to laugh more often. We truly do. Life is too serious, so we need to learn how to laugh. It's absolutely important. So I want to laugh because the message is actually a little serious. I went to just find some fun facts about fatherhood, and I had a couple jokes. I thought that would be funny just to get us laughing. But the more I got into fatherhood, I realized this stirring in my heart. And I often will get it over a topic of men. And it's like I couldn't get around this because it's so important. How many know that that families and men are under attack? Now, I could say families and women are under attack too, which I believe is the truth. But there is such an attack on men. And this is going to be like counterculture today, but that's all right. Church and God is counterculture. But there is truly an attack on men. Men are growing up today not knowing actually what it means to even be a man, right? When I was growing up, it was taught to me that you open a door for somebody, especially a woman. Nowadays, you could open a door and get yelled at. So I just opened the door for everyone. I just try not to be, you know, one or the other, but it can be very confusing of what it means to be a man. And so as I was thinking about Father's Day, I thought this is, and the stats, I'm going to read some, and some of them I don't want to come across in any way. If you feel any condemnation, we're going to throw that out the window. Any shame, if you blew it, we all blew it. If you're a dad, raise your hand if you blew it. We all blew it at times. That's just part of parenting. You're going to make mistakes. And you may be here and going, I messed up so bad. We're not going there. But what I do have is a determination to go, this will be, Pastor Gary talked about it, I talked about the week before in somewhat, this will be a house of grace and a place where people can be restored, right? That is the heart's desire. We want to see people pursue God, equipped, and we want to release hope. Those are the three things. The two of them are out in the front, you know, right when you drive in. We want to see people find hope and find God. But we also want to see people restored so they can truly be fathers the way they're called to be. Now, if you're a single mother in here, I do not want you to have any condemnation, but we cannot at the same time shy away from the truth of how important fathers are. If you are single in here, we want to be, I would love to see this house become fathers to the fatherless. I should get an amen. Maybe you don't realize it until you hear the stats, and I'm going to share some stats. Very interesting, somebody I know, and I won't say somebody very close to me, went to do a master's on this when they were in university. Internet was just starting to come out. You know, it was still not huge, not even, like, it was still just, there was no pictures. It was just, you could email somebody and text somebody across the world type thing. And this person went to do their master's on this information that I'm going to share, and they were told they are not allowed to do their master's on this because they don't want the information out. But nowadays, with the internet, it's a free realm, right? So the information's out there. You cannot deny it. People don't like to hear this stuff. So fun facts before we begin. This is pretty interesting. The world's oldest father, this will bring hope to those that are single. The world's oldest father is believed to be Ramjit Raghav from India. He was 96 years old when his 52-year-old wife gave birth to a baby boy in 2010. Wow. Here's the hope. Raghav was single until he was in his 80s. There's always hope. All right. You're glad what? He didn't rush in, yeah. The father with the most children from one woman is Fyodor Vasilev. He and his wife had 69 children. For real. I don't know about twins and triplets. It doesn't say. Reportedly, 67 of the 69 children survived infancy. How do you get your family around? I guess in the 1700s, you didn't go anywhere, so it didn't matter. You don't need a village. You have your own. And this will just tell you, if you feel bad about yourself for parenting, this will make you feel better. Arthur Langley made news as being the worst father in the U.S. after he left his one-year-old at home in 2012 so he could go rob houses. So if you think you're a bad father, you have just climbed the ladder. Amen. What I'd like to do, I'm going to read these because I don't want to try to just talk. I want to read these. These are stats. And like I said, it's good to laugh beforehand because these are very troubling stats. But it's interesting that there is such a pull to have fathers non-existent in our society. Right? You're tracking with me. Like if... Let me give you the current trends. In the United States, listen to this. Children are more likely to live with a pet than they are with their natural father. About 24 million children in America, or one out of every three, live in homes without a father. One out of every three live in a home without a father. And you're more likely to have a pet than a father. So put that into your mind. Now, we live sometimes in a bubble because we go to church and it seems like fathers are plentiful. And I'm so grateful for that. It seems like I had a dad, my dad had a dad. I'm grateful. But we have to also realize this is not the norm. And when it's not the norm and you hear the stats of what's going on, you go, God, you put me on the earth to be a solution. How can I help? Right? Have we not been put on this earth for a solution? It could be a solution to your neighbor, a block, a city, a country. Like, God gives different influence so you can do things. Sometimes it's okay. God says, hey, I want you to be an influence to your neighbor. And that's the influence I want you to be. And then some people feel the urge to go, like, I want to be the mayor to be a bigger influence. That's okay. Whatever God puts on your heart to be the influence. But the reality is we're here to make a difference. Okay? You're shaking your head, but let me just read again. Isaiah. Why don't you turn your Bibles? I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah 61. I'm going to probably go back to this verse a lot. We were so blessed last night to go out with friends and to have our kids sitting with us. And Krista just kept saying, I am so glad our kids are with us. I'm so glad our kids are with us. It's important as families that we are strong units, amen? Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 4. I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation, but follow along. If you have your app, you can switch it to the Passion Translation. It says, the mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me. So how do we know that this, we know now, sorry, we talked about this, that because Jesus is writing this, the spirit of the Lord was upon him. Who is this now for as well? Us, because the spirit of the Lord is in us, right? Okay, I need a lot of participation today to understand that you're tracking, all right? The spirit, the mighty spirit of the Lord Yahweh is wrapped around me because Yahweh has anointed me. Turn to your neighbor and say, did you know you're anointed? He has anointed me as a messenger to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the wounds of the brokenhearted, to tell captives, you are free, and to tell prisoners, be free from your darkness. I am sent to announce a new season of Yahweh's grace and a time of God's recompense on his enemies. That's actually Old Testament. Jesus didn't read that. He said to come to comfort all who mourn, all who are in sorrow, to strengthen those crushed by despair, who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful bouquet in the place of ashes, the oil of bliss instead of tears, and the mantle of joyous praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. And then I love this. Because of this, they will be known as mighty oaks of righteousness planted by Yahweh as a living display of his glory. Because of all that he's going to do. So what does he want to do? Well, he wants to restore, he wants to heal, he wants to release, he wants to set people free. And those people will become mighty oaks, right? So how many want to be a mighty oak? How many are a mighty oak? Yeah, a lot of you are. All of us are, I mean. How many want to see people come in that are broken made into mighty oaks? Let's try that again. I want to see every hand up. How many want to see people come in that are broken made into mighty oaks? Yeah, we do. We want to see people healed and set free. You know, if 20 years from now, they're like in the same condition, I'd be like, what have we done? Like the spirit of the Lord is upon us. We want to see people change. So with all this in mind, listen. Children in homes without fathers, this is research. This is not just me typing things, thoughts, okay? Children in homes with fathers are almost 4 times more likely to be poor. Children in fatherless homes are more likely to marry with less than a high school degree and to become teen parents. Children in homes without a father have a significantly higher chance of becoming incarcerated than those who live in a household with both parents, even after they control for income. Children who never had a father in the household have higher chances. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children that exhibit behavioral disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of youth sitting in prisons grew up fatherless. If you grew up fatherless, you're 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 30 times more likely to run away, 20 times more likely to have behavioral problems, 14 more times to commit rape, and it goes on and on. I've said a lot of that. How do you destroy a society? Take out the fathers. It's a simple plan, isn't it? When you look at those stats, we're not talking 10% higher. We're talking anything between 50 to 90% higher if you take out fathers. How do you destroy a society? Take out the fathers. That's why the plan is so rampant right now to both take out fathers and to have men not know what it even means to be a man or to be a father. It just destroys everything. Now, you want some good hope? Yes. Please give me hope. Listen to this good news. Studies show that studies show that fathers who are involved with their kids have better health, drink, they drink alcohol less, and have lower substance abuse. A new study shows women, listen really carefully, encourage, actually men, forget the women. I'll tell you why, just listen. Because you'd have to nag to get them to do it. I'm gonna tell them to do it. Is that better? Okay, see, now you're happy. A new study shows that fathers who share household chores with their wives tend to have more ambitious daughters, as well as daughters with more broad definitions of gender roles. So are you happy, ladies, that, you know? So literally by doing chores around the house as men, by helping pick up, you are actually making your daughters more ambitious. Who knew it could be that easy? Right? I don't know if you love or hate me right now. I'm just gonna keep reading. When fathers are involved in their children's education, they perform better in school, learn more, and exhibit healthier behavior. This is, and please don't take offense at this. This is just really interesting of how God has designed fathers to be so influential. It says, dad's love matters. Of course, love and support from dad and from mom have long-ranging effects on kids. Yet a new study has found that a dad's love may matter more. In an examination of 36 studies published by Personality and Social Psychology Review, research found that in the children's future well-being and happiness hinged heavily on whether a dad lavishes them with affection. One theory for this, kids often look up to dads, so a father's attention may carry more weight and have positive ripple effects on a child's self-esteem, confidence, and more. Isn't that powerful? It's just like, you can almost feel tension. It's like, dads bolster daughter's body image. Okay, so just take for a second, what it's like to remove a dad when we're talking about even these positive stats of what can happen with people if dad's not involved, right? Now you're like, I didn't grow up with a dad. That's why restoration is so important in the church, so we can be healed from things. And then turn around and try to make that cycle not happen again, right? We don't want to see a cycle happen over and over again. And then when people have no father in their life, we want to become father to the fatherless. Just keep saying amen if you agree with me. Dads bolster daughter's body image. Dads not only raise their daughter's ambitions, but they boost body image. Studies show that girls have a close relationship with their dads are less likely to become depressed or develop eating disorders. Dads help daughters date better. All the men said, amen. Amen. This is not including a shotgun, although sometimes that is needed and applies. Remember the first time one of my daughters was dating, I really wanted to get a shovel and a shotgun and put it by the door, but I didn't. But I do believe when my son dated somebody, did I put a robe on and that's how I got Father Jay, or I was going to put a robe on? I wanted to be the priest when I walked in the room. Yeah, something like that. So they didn't know what to do. But then all of a sudden they called me Father Jay. And from now on, all the kids call me, hello, Father Jay. Daughters close with their dads aren't only extremely confident about their looks and their career prospects, they also tend to have great dating lives to boot. The reason, since these girls have learned how to trust and relate to the main male in their life, this rubs off in romantic relationships, making them more long-lasting and fulfilling. That's pretty awesome. Two more stats, and then I'm going to preach. Now, this is for church. Listen. According to data collected by Promise Keepers and Baptist Press, if a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one child in 50 will become regular worshipers. So if the father doesn't go, even if the mother goes, one in 50 will become worshipers. If a father does not go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, if a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, between two-thirds and three-quarters of the children will attend church as adults. Wow. If a father attends church irregularly, between half and two-thirds of the kids will attend church, with some regularly as adults. So even if they don't go regularly, but they attend irregularly, they still will go more often. That's crazy. Another survey found that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability everyone in the house will follow. If the mother is the first to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability everyone in the household will follow. However, when the father is first, there is a 93% probability that everyone in the household will follow. That's incredible. Unfortunately, part of what has happened is that it's so complicated because we have lived for so long as male role models, often with the law mentality as our guide. And I want to share a little bit about that. I got a few minutes left. That God so wants to teach us grace and the blood and righteousness so we can live fully out of a new covenant fatherhood. And live like that and act like that, because it is so different than living under an old covenant fatherhood mentality. That's partly why a lot of people have left the church, because they didn't see what they were hoping to see in church and among men. And we want to be men, and I don't normally just do a specific topic like this, but I really felt it today, that we want to be men that function like godly men, right? So turn your Bibles. I want to read a scripture, and then I want to show you something. Turn to we'll read it later. Let me start with this. Does anybody know what this is? You can put the picture up, the first picture, if you can't see it. Anybody know what this is? You know, you already know. It's a bulb. Has anybody ever plant these bulbs in the spring? These are the bulbs that you take in during the wintertime. You dig them up in the fall. That's what they are. Say it again. Calla lily. Calla lily? I didn't know the name of it. I was trying to remember myself. Thank you, Dave. Calla lily. This is a really ugly thing. To me, it's really ugly. If you can see it up there, it's pretty small, but it's just ugly. But what's amazing about this is within this is life, a seed that when planted, next picture, I just have a small one coming up right now. You can see it there. How many have ever seen how beautiful these grow? They grow tall and the flowers on them are beautiful. I find that amazing that something so, it looks like it's dead, that I can plant this and this will spring forth to life. I think that's absolutely incredible. That something so ugly can produce something so lifelike. Now, I'm not gonna say that you're ugly and as men and women, but as I was listening to my mom preach, I'm like, Lord, help me to put this into words, because so often we get saved, not as much now, but people would get saved. They'd ask God into their life, and then people would be like, well, how come you're doing all that stuff still? What? Don't you follow Jesus now? And I get so frustrated because we talk about grace. Now, how many came into the kingdom and some stuff fell off right away? I remember I was in high school, so I would swear, and I remember giving my life to the Lord, and it's like that thing, I didn't even swear. Like, it just left me immediately. How many had other things that seemed to stick around and became something that you had to work on? Right? Raise your hand so we all feel good about ourselves. If everything is perfect in your life, that's amazing. Lay hands on all of us. Pastor Gary read this definition last week. I'm going to put it up on our family site because I think this is such a powerful definition. Should be in here. This is the definition she read. Grace is the empowering presence of God. Grace is the empowering presence of God that enables you to become the person that God sees when he looks at you. One more time. Grace, and I would say the Holy Spirit and the power of the blood, grace in these things is the empowering presence of God that enables you to become that person that God sees when he looks at you. Our vision of ourselves has been marred by sin and pain, but Jesus sees who we really are. He longs to lavish us with his incredible grace and love so that we can become who he needs us to be on the earth in this hour. He sees us complete, walking in our destiny. One more time from the grace is the empowering presence of God that enables you to become that person that God sees when he looks at you. So go to that last slide for me. We'll put two of them side by side. This is grace. Somebody walks into the church and they're like, you know what? This is how I feel. I feel dried out. I feel ugly. I feel old. I feel lifeless. There is nothing good inside of me. And Jesus comes along and goes, I'm sorry, I don't see that. This is what I see, this beautiful flower. No, sorry. I am dry. I am old. There is nothing good about that. I'm sorry, I don't see that. So often, so often in the church, out of religion, God sees them like this, but we keep reminding them that they look like this. That's what the old law does. Meanwhile, God's like, please be quiet. Let me speak, not you. Because this is what I see. I see the one on the right. I see a beautiful flower with an incredible destiny. You see death. I see life. I see a flower that's going to bring an incredible aroma and a beautiful sight that people will admire. But no, that's not what I look like. I know not right now. You don't think that's your possibility, but I want to let you know this is your destiny. And we as the church have the beautiful opportunity with men and women, this is not just for fathers, but to be able to go, listen, I know that's how you feel, but this is where God's carrying you. It is the reverse of the Garden of Eden. I've been thinking about that so much. We talked about this with the blood, that here Adam and Eve, do you realize they did not think anything negative of themselves. It was impossible for them to have a negative opinion. I think of it like this. Have you ever seen a really, really chubby baby? And they sit there and they laugh their heads off and they drool and they poop and they just feed. And never once does that baby go, I'm really insecure about my weight. Something smells. God, I hope that's not me. They don't think like that. Babies are not born with the ability to think like that. Like they're not in their cribs. Like our twins were in the same room. They were not in their cribs comparing each other before they could speak. Even after they could speak for a long time, they didn't compare each other. I'm not saying that they do now. I'm just saying that's not in our DNA. But at some point in life, through all the things around us, we begin to think about ourselves in a different way. We begin to go from this beautiful flower to this dried up root. And God wants to reverse it and go, I want to strip all that stuff from you. Remember in the garden, as soon as they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, they were shameful, they realized they were naked, and they were fearful. Instantly. And I'm like, Lord, I want the anointing to reverse that. I want people to be able to come in and in one prayer with the anointing, they can go, you know what? That broke off me and I don't think like that anymore. And that's why we want fathers on Father's, you know, talking about Father's Day. So often fathers feel complete shame and guilt. And I want to be a house of grace where they can walk in and go, I know you've had a rough go of it. I know you've made some big mistakes or horrible mistakes, but that's not how God sees you. Let's see you get restored. Amen? Because that's me. I don't know, anybody else in here that's you too, where God took you and restored you? Anybody else still in the process? All I know is that when that root, this bulb, when I planted it, and I've planted them recently, I'm pretty excited about it. I go every day to look at them. But isn't it funny that I planted them? I'm expecting to yield a fruit, growth. I'm absolutely expecting it. But I don't go every day and go, those things are terrible. Look at you, bulb. I planted you 3 days ago, bulb, and you have produced nothing. You're nothing to me. It just doesn't even make any sense. But it's amazing when that first little green pops through the ground, right? It's like, remember being in grade school where you plant the bean seed? Come on, you remember being a kid? Join with me in being a kid for a minute. You plant that seed, and like every day, you watch it. Mom calls you for dinner. I can't go because it's about to break forth. You just planted it 4 minutes ago, but I know it's coming. And that day when you look at it, you know, it's on the windowsill and you're like, oh my gosh, it's growing. What if we had the same excitement for each other like that? You know? Why didn't you pray a little harder over them, bulb? Instead of going, you walked over and you stood there for the first time. I'm so proud of you. That's amazing. Oh my gosh, you said a prayer today out loud. That's so amazing. I have this vision that we can become the most encouraging people around in Jesus. Not just because we want to be good encouragers, that we can literally, can you put that picture back up again? That we can literally begin to go, next one, look at that. That's who you're really called to be. And I honestly think with all those stats, that's what's needed for fathers in this day. You know, we don't have currently a men's ministry, but this morning I just made a kind of a dedication to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I want to go after men. Because I know how hard I've struggled to figure things out and to try to be a godly man. I'm like, we need to figure out a way to raise godly men. We have to. Not in the way where we dominate, in the way that we become the most incredible encouragers, helpers, leaders, whatever we're called to do, servants, all of it. Lord, help us to become these godly men that we can raise God. They walk into an atmosphere and they go, this is what I'd love to hear 5 years from now. I walked into your house, the house of Ascent. I didn't know how to be a man, let alone a Christian, but now I do. And I'm confident in who I am. And my marriage is thriving. Anybody else want that? I want that for women too, don't get me wrong, but just being Father's Day, I'm trying to say, this is what I want for men, because it's so rare. If you look at stats for young men, they are literally confused, not about they want to be a man, but they don't know what it means to be a man anymore. So they're confused. What do I do? How do I act? How do I be nice? I don't know. It's like, Lord, I want to help them become. It's funny, I'm using a flower. I want to help them become the flower that they're called to be. Maybe it's a bad analogy, but it just worked with, you know, couldn't. Oh, it is life. For all the men, it could be like a car, right? I think of a factory. When a car starts for a factory, you know, that they can go from this one station all the way down to the very end. I don't even know all the car guys in here in a factory. How long does it take to make a car these days? Don't they roll off every... Like they're rolling off so quickly, and I don't know what the process is, but it's incredible. God seems to take a little longer on us. Steve, how long does it take overall?
For a full build, probably 25 hours.
25 hours. They could build a car in 25 hours. Yeah, we take a little longer. I'm in my 50th year, and I'm still working on it, so this car takes a little longer to build. I know those are hard stats to read. Father's Day is, you know, we want to be uplifting. But I actually have so much hope it is uplifting. But I also see such a great need when you look at those stats. man, I want people, again, I know I'm being repetitive, I'm going to close. I want people to walk in and be set free and become who they are. All the baggage that we carry and the thoughts that we think, I'm just like, Lord, I want, man, people to be set free. I want to be set free more. I know how far I've come. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but there's still things that I battle. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be set free. Amen. Amen. This is what I'd like to do. I'd like to pray for the fathers, but I also felt like today that we'd pray for those that desire to be fathers. And that could mean you desire to be a spiritual father. And it could mean I'm young, but I want to be a father one day. So if you fit any one of those categories, please stand as a dad or as a future dad or as a spiritual dad. And we want to pray for you. So if you're a father, you desire to be a father, you want to be a spiritual father, any of those. So I want to pray for you. And we want the ladies to stretch out their hands because we want to see men into all they're called to be. Amen. So just pray with me, church. Father God, we thank you for every man that's standing today. We thank you for this day that we celebrate fathers. Lord, we ask, Father God, that you would begin to come in and take who we are, whether we feel like we're half grown as a plant or we're still like dry and rotten. I pray, Father God, that you would begin to take us and mold us, help us, Lord, restore us. Begin to change our mindsets, Father God, if you have to. Lord, would you help us to be the men and the godly men that you've called us to be? Lord, you see those that are standing in here that one day desire to be fathers, that long to be fathers. I ask, Father, that you would begin to already work in their life so they can be the best dad that they can be when they get to that place. Lord, I pray if they're waiting for that spouse that you begin, as you probably already have, but you would begin to mold that woman into the person that she's called to be. So when they meet, Lord, they will be as healed as possible. Lord, I pray that you put a special anointing on the men in this house today. Lord, I pray that you give them dreams to become men that would raise up men. Lord, they would be those that would go out for coffee and they would have the blessing and the privilege of seeing men restored and healed. Lord, we just thank you that men will come into this house that feel like they have no place being here. And in one encounter with one man, their life will be radically changed. Lord, I thank you even at the door that they will have encouraging words to tell them, yeah, you belong here. It doesn't matter what you look like, feel like, or what you've been through. God loves you. And I pray that this house would release hope like it's never released hope before in a world that is confused and desperately needs hope. So we ask us, Lord, to help us. Help us in Jesus' name. Lord, for all the moms in here that find themselves currently without a husband and fatherless, I pray, Lord, that you would heal their hearts. I pray, Father God, you begin to bring spiritual men into their life that can begin to help with the children if need be, to have coffee with them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, also that you would prepare the right man if they desire a man to come into their life again. But Lord, for all of us, we are looking for healing and we are looking, Father God, to do what you've called us to do, to be restorers upon this earth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.